Good morning, and welcome to the Mondo Homunculero podcast. It's Wednesday, a day of Odin, a day of Mercury, a day when mental acuity means everything. Today we're going to talk about a couple of different subjects I've got on my mind. I want to thank you all for listening, even though it might only be an audience of one. I really don't care. I'm glad that I get to do this. It makes me feel great. In the background, we have some atmospheric black metal. Pretty nice. Some nice growling in the background. We had a little bit of that melodic stuff. Pretty nice. Gonna go to Elder Wind now. Okay, and now onto my version of the news. The first topic that I'm going to hit today is the psychology behind conspiracy theories and why people like them. We've seen that people are greatly attracted to conspiracy theories. And back before the days of social media, for example, we didn't have anything but the written word, and we had a little bit that was on television and a little bit that was on the radio, but not that much, not like today, not where we have social media that's interjected a lot of misinformation into the equation. And this has kind of ruined the mix. It's created false points of information. Here's an article from Forbes that comes from November 18th of last year, 2020. Psychological research shows humans' tendency to perceive patterns and embrace information that meets needs for security and belonging is a driving force behind widespread irrational beliefs. Now, we start looking, we see there's quite a few irrational beliefs that people have. About half of Americans believe in at least one disproven conspiracy theory. It comes from the American Journal of Political Science back in 2014. Perhaps none more provocative than QAnon, a conspiracy theory that President Trump has waged a secret war against a pedophilic ring of deep state elites linked to the Democratic Party. Less absurd but more insidious claims, for instance, that COVID-19 is a hoax are also part of the QAnon movement. QAnon first started in 2017 on the online message board 4chan. And it has since mushroomed into a web of misinformation, and nearly half of Americans who know about QAnon, 20% say it's somewhat or very good for the country. That's a Pew Research poll that came up with that. Okay, so let's look at why these things are good. Okay, occasionally, a conspiracy theory has provided some information that turns out to have a factual basis and is useful in investigating. Occasionally. Most of the time, it's pure bullshit. Now, most people think we're overloaded with bullshit. I don't disagree. The media, if you listen to cable opinion channels, they're not news channels really. Now, CNN still has a good bit of news in its broadcasts. If you look at their cable news, There's a good flash underneath the commentators. The commentators are still, though, poisoning us with opinions of supposed experts on various topics. Well, that's really nice, but I don't hear a full spectrum there. You know, if we were going to get a full spectrum of news, we would want to hear a fascist, right? Like a Proud Boys. Proud Boys are really overblown. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Like a Boogaloo Boy. And the Boogaloo Boys have diversity in them, as we've been finding out. So you'd want to hear a Boogaloo Boy and maybe even an American Nazi Party member on one side. And you'd want to hear a Marxist. Maybe a part-time Antifa member. Well, let's look at this. Antifa is not Antifa, it's Antifa. Antifa is anti-fascism, and it's a spontaneous group. It's not an organized group in most instances. Now, there are some cells that do media research and get after fascists, okay? That's what Antifa is all about. So we might want somebody from there, but we might want somebody, from the Democratic Socialists of America, which are to the right of the pure Marxists and the communists, okay? And then have somebody who's just kind of a very liberal Democrat, and then a middle-of-the-road Democrat, and then get into our conservatives, whether they're Democrat or Republican, because there really isn't too much difference. And as Chomsky has pointed out, we really only have one party, okay? And they have different factions. It's kind of like, it's pretty funny. It goes back to what happened when the country was founded, how some of the founders, and they were foundered, I believe, to some extent, some of the founders thought that we should only have one party, and that we should have diversity within that party, and that the party should elect at large from that party or independents. And if you remember what happened in the presidential elections up until I think the 1800s was that the guy who won became president, and the guy who ran second, there was no women running for anything then. They didn't have the right to vote. And that one who ran second became vice president. Now, just think about it. If you would have had that today, you'd had Biden as president and Trump as vice president. Talk about diversity. Anyway, what I say, I propose that we start a public forum, that we go back to the old model of fairness, meaning that, okay, let's talk about a topic. Let's talk about the racial question. We won't call it racial injustice because that tends to sway to us folks on the left more. We just call it the racial questions. Then we have all those people represented, okay? A complete spectrum of opinions. And have not a debate, but rhetorical presentations, and then maybe after the presentations, some rhetorical arguments. That could be considered debate, but if there's no facts, there's no debate. So here's the problem, is that we don't get all the opinions in one spot. We get them in different spots. So you got Newsmax, which is a fucking idiot for them. You've got Fox News, which is just deplorable. They should be canceled off the air with the bullshit that pricks like Tucker Carlson and idiots like Laura Ingraham and that whole crew of idiots, with the exception of Chris Wallace, who's about the only guy that has any fucking brains. Or at least expresses himself as such. By and large, though, they need to be fact-checked and they need to be held to account by their own people. That's not happening, and people believe the lies that spew out of their mouths, like the election was rigged. Rigged my ass. Now, well, I'm going to give my opinion on this. I'm not a Biden guy. I voted for him because we had to get Trump out. Now, Biden has signed some pretty good executive orders since he's been in Congress, though, is going to be in a huge fight. The House, we still control. The House, the Democrats still control. And they get a lot of opposition from Republicans. Now you have fucking QAnon bitching in there. And maybe a couple of other conspirators or sympathizers in there. We had 147 of them that voted to overturn the election results. That's a problem. And they should be expelled because they're liars and they believe in lies and they want to perpetrate lies. Same thing in the Senate. All these bastards, look at what's going on now. 45 of them don't want to have a trial after this impeachment. Now, there's a lot of misnomer going on. First of all, the trial in the Senate is not impeachment. The president has already been impeached for inciting an insurrection. He's impeached. Now he's going to be tried, and we're going for a conviction. And the media is like, well, impeachment. He's impeached. They do this all the time with various things. They take one headline and distort it into their view of reality. And their view of reality is often peppered with bullshit. I say that even though some of them are left-leaning. You know, okay, so back to the conspiracy theories. Widespread belief in conspiracy theories is a cause for concern, says Karen Douglas, PhD, a professor of social psychology at the University of Kent. Because research links support in such theories to prejudice, violence, and terrorism. Several followers of QAnon have been charged with violent crimes, prompting the FBI to label the group a potential domestic terrorist threat in May. That was May of 2020. Psychological research on cognition, personality, and conspiratorial narratives helps explain why the theory has taken hold, what makes it appealing, and how it might be stopped. There's a motivation to believe. People believe in conspiracy theories for a variety of reasons: to explain random events, to feel special or unique, or for a sense of social belonging, just to name a few. In a series of experiments, Douglas and Jan Willem van Pruggen, a PhD and associate of professor of social and organizational psychology at Vrije University, Amsterdam, found that the tendency to perceive illusory patterns to connect stimuli that aren't related is part of the cognitive machinery behind irrational beliefs, such as conspiracy theories. Along those lines, some QAnon followers think that because Q is the 17th letter of the alphabet, President Trump is sending them messages when he mentions the number 17. The number 17. Now, we can look up Gematria, we can look up all kinds of correspondences, all kinds of stuff. The cat is getting into stuff in here. Morpheus, stop it. Get out of here, Morpheus. Go on. Get. He's a good cat. He's very bored because he doesn't get to go out and risk his life. I'm very protective of my cats. I love them. They're my little family. The number 17 has other poignant correspondences, which we won't go into here because it's not a podcast about magic yet. Q, the anonymous internet poster behind the movement who claims to be a high-ranking U.S. intelligence official, releases cryptic breadcrumbs known as drops online that followers then decipher. Drops are said to explain predict developments in the supposed war between former President Trump and the alleged deep state pedophiles. Now here's another thing. All this crap about pedophilia, okay? Pedophilia is a problem. It's not as big a problem as childhood psychological, physical, and sexual abuse. Those are much bigger problems, mostly because people have children and they're not prepared for it. Most of bringing offspring into the world by humans, a lot of it, especially in our society here in the United States, is an egocentric exercise. I love to ask this question of what some of the gay people call breeders. Why do you want to have children? How is that going to enhance the world? Tell me why. And I don't press them, you know, on, I don't debate with them over it and challenge them, because they're going to do it anyway. Then I ask them some other pointed questions like, why would you bring a child into a world that is in deep jeopardy of the extinction of the human race and a lot of calamity and catastrophe? Well, that's where those who were climate change advocate, you know, for activism, quickly abandon that and say, well, you know, I want to have children for various reasons. Well, what are you going to do, raise up activists to fight climate change? No. I say put off your fucking children exercise. Put off reproduction until we get this shit under control. Otherwise, what you're doing is egocentric and inhumane, to bring a child into a world that could be doomed. You know, one of my favorite commentators who's on Telsur has a show called The Empire Falls. It's Abby Martin. And she married her producer, you know, whatever. She's a very beautiful, very intelligent person. Very, 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 just physically just gorgeous and very intelligent and a good news person to a certain extent. She likes to talk about climate crisis and catastrophe and all the various environmental concerns. And then her and this guy go ahead and have a child. You know what, Abby? Fuck you. I'm not going to not listen to you. You've got a goofy one on now about how the insurrection was an inside job. Well, I guess you could look at it that way from the viewpoint of the right wing that was wanting to keep Trump in power because they're afraid of the disgusting pusbag that he is. You know, Trump needs to be convicted of several crimes, imprisoned for the rest of his life, if not executed for treason. Now, I'm not a guy who likes capital punishment, but this guy, he needs to go away permanently. He's a scumbag. And the people who like him, they have some deep psychological problems. I had to kick a friend to the curb. Oh, they're not, weren't really a friend. I had a 35 year on again, off again, mostly off again friendship. And at one time we were lovers to a certain extent with this woman who's crazy. She's crazy. She's a nurse. And I'm sure she's very good at her job. She works in blood services in hospitals. But somehow her brain took a right turn into the quagmire of loving Trump. She posted on Facebook a whole diatribe of lies that were attributed to somebody else. She cut and pasted this. Actually, they were about Trump. He's a liar. He's a pedophile. He's this and that. He's all these bad things, all of which are Trump. So that was a projection of some idiot who's a Trump lover trying to get people to hate Biden. Well, okay, hate Biden all you want. I don't give a fuck. Okay, I don't think he's a pedophile. I've watched him. He's just a very loving, kind man, okay? And yeah, he probably did some sexual assault shit way back when. You know, Tara Reid. What happened to Tara Reid? Yeah, she kind of faded into the background. I wonder if the DNC paid her off. I think that's what she was bucking for. I think she was bucking for a payment. And maybe she got it. And you can, you know, like Democrats are pedophiles that kill children and drink their blood. Oh, God damn it. That's the old we hate the Jews bullshit from medieval times. Yeah, it's bullshit. Total bullshit. Yeah, don't believe any of that crap. This is old leftover shit that these idiots like to recycle through us to get us to believe in their nonsense. Back to the article. Okay. Participating in what feels like an exclusive intelligence circle can satisfy the human need for uniqueness. Psychologist research has shown, prompting a desire to continue participating. There it is. Want a sense of belonging and feeling special instead of having good self-esteem. People also turn to conspiracy theories when important psychological needs aren't being met, says Douglas. Her research shows that such narratives can fulfill our need for certainty and security. For instance, when events seem random, and for social belonging. Now, there it is. There's a big thing, I think. There's a lot of random things that happen which have causes. I don't believe in this karma crap. You know, I believe in cause and effect, though. I know that cause and effect happens. But you can't always guarantee that the cause creates a certain effect. That was a sneeze break. Jeez. I don't know what it is in this room. It might be cat dander that got me. So, there you go. People want to belong to something. They want to feel like what they believe in is legitimate and real. And let's look at a lot of these folks that are Trump suckers. I call Trump supporters Trump suckers because they're sucking on a dream, wanting an autocrat. These people actually want a fucking dictator. They're traitors. They're traitors against democracy. They are. They are allowed to have a voice. And we need to use that voice to work with them, to attempt to get them to see the facts about things. Now, a lot of people are disgruntled with our government and with our society and our economic system. Well, I am too. There's a few different ways to go with that. Okay, so the Trump way, which was all designed to get supporters and votes and money, mostly money. I mean, the son of a bitch raised like $200 million after the election. I wonder if he still raised money. Probably is. That's what his gig was. His gig was to grift. He's a grifter. He's a thief. He's a liar. He's a cheat. This is what he does. People didn't care because he was feeding them the big lie. And he repeated the big lies over and over and over again. 2 + 2 = 5. The big fucking lie. What a piece of shit son of a bitch he is. But he's not really the big problem. The big problem is that people want to believe this crap. Now, I'm going to take off of my Christian fascism bent on this. We have a huge faction in our society which claims to be Christian, claims to be evangelical, which has gone way over the line between our boundaries between church and state. They have a right to voice their opinion. However, their opinion is wrong. The founders, God, I hate that. I hate calling founders. The people that wrote the Constitution, the men that wrote the Constitution, well, no women wrote it. The men that wrote the Constitution were explicit in keeping church and state, religion and state, separate. One of the myths that you find is that it's a Christian nation. No, this is not a Christian nation. There were Christians who helped found the nation, but some of the chief writers and founders weren't Christians. They were deists. A lot of them were Freemasons. Now, Freemasons are not Christians, which is okay. What they believe in is kind of a cool. They have their own religion, their own Bible, really. They really do. And I don't know how many of the members actually embrace it. I don't embrace any shit like that, personally. I'm an atheist. And I'm an atheist against most beliefs. Now, I use beliefs in deities in my personal magical work as invocation techniques to take on the characteristics of these god forms or spirits or whatever, so I could complete something, or to create a new entity of bits and pieces out of these in my evocational work. That's what I do. However, in one sense, that makes me agnostic, I guess you could say. I'm just not really into the whole label thing. But I'm mostly when you talk about a religion and believing in a concretized concept, you know, that this is reality, I don't. So that makes me an atheist in most sense. Okay, so here's the problem. Here's where this shit comes from. People believe in Christianity. Christianity is not reality. It's a myth. There's good evidence which shows Jesus never existed. Even St. Paul referred to Jesus as an astral entity. In other words, he was already in the astral realm. He was in heaven with his father, Yahweh, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, blah, blah, blah. Part of the Hebrew mythology that Christianity embraced. And Christianity is not Judaism. Been, you know, looking at this here recently, people say Judeo-Christian, you know, as far as being the basis for the founding of the Republic. Well, and let's clarify one thing. We do not have a democracy. We have shards of democracy. We have a constitutional republic, which is really run by the business state. That's what we have. Let's get into reality here. There's no conspiracy there. It's a business plan. And where these people go wrong, first of all, they believe in nonsense like Christianity. Now, some of the principles of Christianity, most of which have been borrowed from other religions and philosophies, are excellent. Love your neighbor as you want to love yourself. You know, there's a lot of good stuff there. Some of the things in the Ten Commandments have value. Most we have discarded because they don't fit the modern world. That was a code that was developed to control tribes of people. Which, by the way, we're never a huge great nation like a Solomonic nation. Such another ridiculous pile of shit. So Christianity is basically a myth that people believe is real, that Jesus actually lived and that he died for their sins and that he's going to return and take the faithful up to heaven with him. And that before that, now this is a myth that's way outside of the Bible. You have the rapture, which was created by authors back, I believe, in the 16th century. I don't want to go into the history of that. That's not important. People believe that nonsense. They believe all kinds of nonsense that's been drug into this. And that's where a lot of the problem comes from with these evangelicals and people like that. They're crazy. Instead of saying, hey, you know, it's really good. The golden rule is excellent. It's great. And there's a lot of people who, you know, embrace Christianity. They don't believe Jesus was a real man who lived. They, you know, they believe that Jesus is an inspirational prophet who had some great principles for living. That's what they believe. And they believe, a lot of them believe, they're not atheists, a lot of them. They believe that the deity exists, but maybe that the deity is quite a bit bigger than Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh and the Holy Trinity. They believe that it might be a little bit bigger and more expansive and inclusive than that. Now, when I was a believer, I went from being an evangelical Christian, a charismatic Christian who spoke in tongues and sang in the meetings and did all that kind of crap, read the Bible every day, read the Bible for years. I went from that when then I discovered it's not real, that it's basically bullshit, like all mythologies are, to being a skeptic. And then I kind of went back to an older belief system, which is more along the Vedic lines that that God is everything, and that we're all part of God, and that there's no grand articulator out there. There's no grand conductor of the universal orchestra out there. There's no creator. However, there's this big, giant, amorphous thing called God. And that's what I believed in. And that was a very stable belief because it allowed a lot of room to move philosophically. And, you know, I could pray to that And it would bring me solace because prayer is a form of meditation when used, properly and effectively. I don't pray anymore because I do other meditations that are much more effective for me and that give me a lot of solace and balance me out. So there you go. Here's the first big problem. The first big problem is that people believe in this shit and that it causes them to create all kinds of wild theories about what's going to happen, where it says, actually says in the Bible, don't try to figure out when it's coming. Don't try to figure out when the end of times is coming. Don't try to figure it out. That's not your job. Your job is to believe and practice the principles in all your affairs. That's your job. That's what you do. You don't spin off on this wild crap and go sit on a mountain waiting for the Lord to return. And this is where they go wrong. These people are nuts. Now, I'm going to end the segment right here. There's going to be another segment I'm going to record a little later today because it's time for work. Anyway, I appreciate any feedback that you want to get. You can call me. I'll give you a number to call in the second segment. Good morning. Happy Thursday. I hope you're feeling all right. This is the hour of restoring power. It's the Clap Trap Podcast. The Slob Track Fact Check. Make your mark and hit the ball like Hank out of the park. And grip the bat low so you know, so you know, so you know which way. So you know which way it goes. And the time has come. If you're feeling smart, if your friends are looking worse than dumb, the fuckery, the mockery, the truckery, the suckery, everything that takes you down to Grifter Town makes it so wrong. And they jump like a small ring, so bad. Like the fakest of the fake match. They're all on the same team, but somebody wants to be in control. So bite the ass of that troll and let it go, don't you know? Deep in the forest of let go. It's Slobcast, the rest of the cast doesn't know the aliens in Antarctica going off the edge of the flat earth, faking everything for moonshots. And no, it ain't Gates, it ain't Soros, and it ain't the Trilateral Commission, it ain't the Bilderbergs. Eating babies. So it's in the queue. It's in the queue. And we're gonna rip it out of their hearts. We gotta take it. I know the man is so sad. I know. Yes, I know. We gotta go. Yes, I know. Good morning, everybody. I hope everybody's doing well. So it's a day of power. It's Thursday. There's an underlying surge of sound there. Sorry about that. Try to edit it out later. Getting back to these whack jobs, these conspiracy theorists, whack jobs. Destroying our country, destroying the world. And, you know, starting with that myth that the founders were Christians and that this is a Christian nation. In contrast to what's real. And what's real is that it isn't. And we really, once and for all, need to get religion out of politics. It's got to go away. Yeah, we got to make it go away. The time is short. So back to the article from Forbes. Hypothetically, I can catch some sleep while traveling at the same time. However, I tend to have bad red eye luck, and I'm always seated next to the two single people who decide to make a 5-hour cross-continental flight their first date, or the eager colleagues looking to rehash workplace politics like dissecting a Game of Thrones episode. In other words, people are not there to sleep. So let me say it just for the record. I like what she says here. The founders are just not that special. And if you insist on meeting the founder instead of a healthy or geographically convenient, highly qualified colleague, then blah, blah, blah. So that was about the business aspect of a founder and all this enamoring that goes on. And we all know that the founding myth is really crazy. Yeah. So when you deify these men that were just men, nothing more, nothing less, that's what happens. And so back to why these people are the way they are. Well, they want to believe in something, makes them feel special, makes them feel part of something. That's why they join these groups. They want to believe something that's contrary to the narrative that they hear in media, that they get from entertainment. They want to change that rhetoric into a rhetoric which says, we're victims. Because when we start to look at this, we see that what we have going on here is victim. Victim mentality, victimology. Maybe some of them have like daddy issues. They never had that all-powerful figure they wanted to be their father. Maybe some of them had one of those, but he was dictatorial. And like most kids who are abused, they tend to love their perpetrators. Until they find out the perpetrators. Some of them don't. Some of them never do. They just tend to follow that pattern in their lives. And not all of them are like this. A lot of them got poisoned against government. You know, government's bad. Government's too big. Government is stealing from you by taxing you. And of course, what is that? That's a smokescreen that the business state right wing's been throwing up for decades and decades and decades. And what it does is it gives them an excuse to continue their grift, to get out of paying taxes and somehow get access to our tax dollars for their business occupation. And, you know, I've covered this many times in my podcast. We have a business state. We don't. And it'll resort to anything it can to keep itself going, to perpetuate. They'll even use hate. Of course, now it's all fashionable since the insurrection. And you know, once again, I'd say this was not a riot. It was an insurrection to overthrow the government, to overthrow the Congress, to kill the vice president, as some had on their minds, and to kill Nancy Pelosi, as some had on their minds. Now, look, I'm not a fan of either one. I'd like to see Pelosi go home once and for all. She's a good leader. However, now the Democratic Party has had so many expatriates from the Republican Party that's becoming more and more moderate. It's becoming more and more conservative. And what we want to do, if we're leftists and we choose to participate in the Democratic Party, not, and most won't, however, if we do, we need to do what AOC is doing and the Squad and several other progressives. We need to strengthen and increase the membership of the Democratic Socialists of America. We have to tell people about it. People are deathly afraid of socialism. They've been so heavily propagandized by the right that any mention of the word is like blasphemy. And what it really is, it's a critique of capitalism, because that was what Marx did. He critiqued capitalism. And we know that capitalism is a fail, that it fails ultimately. It fails, that it only serves a few when it gets skewed to the point where we have it now. When we had a well-regulated capitalism, we started building a middle class, although it was devoid of too many people of color. So that's kind of a misnomer, kind of another myth. Those good old days, the 50s. Make America great again. Great at what? How great do you think we were? With all the wrongs that we've perpetrated. With all the bad shit that's been going down all this time. Yeah, what do you think this is? Huh? I think it's high time that we take the revolution to a new level, not a level of violence, but a level of rhetoric, to continually tell facts consistently, point out that inequality doesn't have that much to do more Democrat than Republican, because actually there's a lot in both camps, and it really makes them more of one economic camp. And once we can erase, and we can do this, we can erase the inequality. And it just means that the greedy and profit-hungry companies and corporations are going to have to let go of some of that fluff. Because, after all, aren't the profits built on the backs of the workers in most cases, unless you're like this one-man hedge fund show? And he's a worker, too. However, he's the worst kind of worker. That's right. America was built on the backs of labor. America is a country of workers, which has become slowly more and more a financialized economy rather than an industrialized economy. And that's where a lot of the rub is. A lot of these disgruntled folks, they want to return to our manufacturing and industrialized economy, where they can be workers, factory workers, production line workers. So what is the response to that? It's not more workers, it's more automation. What is the response to that? It's sending labor overseas. So in all of this, people have wanted to blame the government, because the right wing, who wants to maintain their financial base of, they want to maintain their financial power, and they've done it. The 0.1% and the 1% and the 10%, they've increased their wealth considerably since all this neoliberal crap came in. So what do we need to do? We need to take it from them, not violently. We need to form coalitions, raise capital, start doing takeovers of these companies and turning them into worker-owned companies, or turning them into companies where workers by their numbers have that many votes on the board. Because after all, the profits that all these major stockholding board members have, all those stocks that they have, give them a vote, an overwhelming vote against the rights of workers, because it places, once again, profit before people. When the truth of the economy, at least on the consumer economy level, which is due quite a bit of criticism, what does that do in the economy? Yeah, what does that do? When the workers make the wages they deserve, they spend all the money back into the economy. And if they own an equal piece of the company that they work for, they're going to have profit sharing at the end of the year. Now, maybe because they get paid so much, the profits are not as great. Well, they certainly won't be for the shareholders. So what does that do? It makes people flee the investment market. And where do they go? They probably go to overseas markets to invest their money. And we have to tax the fuck out of them. So if they don't want to be here, they have the money. They can go live wherever they want. And some of them have, because they're looking for that perfect paradise to escape from all the oppressive taxation and government and... That's right. You have my blessing. Go. However, we're going to take your offshore funds and we're going to tax the piss out of them, because a lot of those funds were gleaned from exploiting people. That's right. And yeah, every one of us sells our soul. Every one of us that's a worker sells our soul every day to the entity we work for. Sometimes that's even in a government agency, but mostly that's working for private companies. Now, you may work for a company that pays you extremely well, and bless their hearts and yours too. But most of us don't. So you have the special STEM skills. STEM people, you need to increase your numbers, and you need to unionize. You need to organize. You need to make sure you're not just a contract worker with no benefits. And what we need to do also is make sure that these bastards don't offshore all this. We can do that. We can kick the lobbyists out of Congress. We can remove Citizens United. We can take money out of politics. We can defund the media for politics. No more ads. Only equal time for all candidates, only. So if you got Biden on, then you gotta have whoever's gonna run against him on right after. You need to have this kind of balance restored, like it attempted to be. I won't say it used to be, like it attempted to be. Big broadcasting companies like Sinclair, they need to be destroyed or broken up. Just like the big tech companies need to be broken up. They're stealing from us. So we need to take back what's ours. Because we're the people, we're the workers, and we're the majority. And this is mostly, if we're 90%, then this is 90% our country, regardless of the property rights, wealth rights nonsense. So sending all of you all the power of Jupiter today on the Mondo Homunculero podcast, powered by Anchor. Recorded on a Rodecaster Pro, mixed down to GarageBand. I appreciate you, and I hope love comes your way.